In 1492, Portugal and Spain stood at the brink of war. Both maritime powers claimed newly discovered lands across the Atlantic, and conflict seemed inevitable. Then something remarkable happened. They turned to Pope Alexander VI, who drew a line down the middle of the world map. Everything west belonged to Spain, everything east to Portugal. The Treaty of Tordesillas prevented war for nearly a century. It sounds almost quaint now, dividing the globe with a papal penstroke, but it worked because both sides recognized a fundamental truth: the cost of conflict would exceed any potential gain. Today, we face a far more consequential version of this dilemma. China has risen with breathtaking speed, growing from an economy just 7% the size of America's in 1980 to one that now rivals or exceeds it by certain measures. This isn't just another geopolitical shift. It's what one statesman called the biggest player in the history of the world entering the game. And history whispers a dark warning. When a rising power challenges a ruling one, war follows in 12 of 16 cases. The question isn't whether this pattern applies to U.S.-China relations, but whether we're wise enough to become the exception. Between 2011 and 2013, China used more cement than America did in the entire 20th century. By 2005, it was building the equivalent of Rome every 2 weeks. Chinese construction firms now erect 30-story skyscrapers in 15 days, a civilizational transformation compressed into 3 decades. The human transformation is equally dramatic. In 1980, 88% of China's billion citizens survived on less than $2 a day. Today, poverty rates have plummeted to under 3%. Average income has jumped from $193 to over $8,100, and life expectancy has doubled to 76 years. Over 500 million people have escaped extreme poverty. China has systematically invested in human capital. On international math assessments, China ranks 6th, while America sits at 39th. Tsinghua University has surpassed MIT as the world's premier engineering school. China graduates 4 times as many STEM students annually, 1.3 million versus 300,000, and filed almost twice as many patent applications as Americans in 2015. This technological prowess extends into military domains. China has developed carrier targeting missiles and anti-satellite weapons. The world's fastest supercomputer is Chinese, built entirely with domestic processors. Defense analysts report China has achieved advantage, or approximate parity, in 6 of 9 areas of conventional military capability in Asia. 25 centuries ago, Thucydides identified a pattern still governing international relations. It was the rise of Athens and the fear that this instilled in Sparta that made war inevitable. This observation captured power dynamics transcending time and culture. Sparta had dominated Greece for over a century as the ultimate military culture. Boys taken at 7 for brutal training, society organized around creating perfect warriors. Athens was an open trading society, experimenting with democracy. After defeating Persia together, Athens experienced a renaissance, building a maritime empire, dominating trade, and producing cultural achievements still shaping Western civilization. The contrast was stark: conservative Sparta versus innovative Athens, closed military culture versus open commercial society, land power versus sea power. As Athens's influence grew, Spartan leaders debated preemptive strikes. Thucydides identified 3 forces driving them toward war: interests, fear, and honor. Sparta's anxiety fueled misperceptions, while Athens's confidence encouraged risk-taking. These forces produced repeated confrontations, devastating Greece for a generation and weakening both powers permanently. The most ominous parallel to today may be the Anglo-German rivalry that produced World War I. By 1900, Britain ruled an empire spanning every continent, accounting for nearly a quarter of global manufacturing and trade, serving as both policeman and banker to the world. Yet anxieties surfaced even during Queen Victoria's 1897 Diamond Jubilee. Britain's struggles in the Boer War revealed military weaknesses, while rivals rapidly closed its industrial elite. Germany's challenge was straightforward: a rapidly developing nation blocked by an incumbent hoarding colonial possessions. Following Bismarck's unification, Germany emerged as an economic and military phenomenon. By 1914, its population exceeded Britain's by 50%, and it had surpassed Britain in manufacturing. Germans felt shortchanged, believing they deserved colonial possessions like other world powers. Kaiser Wilhelm II embodied this combustible mix, demanding our place in the sun. The naval race proved particularly dangerous. Admiral Tirpitz aimed for a German navy equally as strong as England's. Britain responded by ending its splendid isolation, forming alliances with Japan, France, and Russia, while reorganizing the Royal Navy to concentrate against Germany. The war resulted not from ignorance, but miscalculation. Leaders recognized war could devastate their societies, yet rational struggles over predominance created tectonic stress, where statesmen deemed war preferable to perceived national destruction. The result killed millions and destroyed four empires. Xi Jinping seeks civilizational restoration after China's century of humiliation. For millennia, China dominated Asia through cultural attraction, not conquest, until 19th-century defeats by Western powers, beginning with the Opium Wars. National shame lifted when Mao declared in 1949, "The Chinese people have stood up." Born to Vice Premier Xi Zongsun, Xi's privileged life shattered when Mao arrested his father. After graduating from Tsinghua University, he climbed the party hierarchy. Initially assumed a consensus builder, Xi rapidly consolidated power as chairman of everything, taking over a dozen titles to potentially remain indefinitely. His China dream advances on four fronts: revitalizing the Communist Party by cleansing corruption, reviving nationalism, engineering economic revolution, and rebuilding China's military to fight and win. Xi's nightmare is Mikhail Gorbachev. He frequently asks why the Soviet Union collapsed, concluding Gorbachev made three fatal errors: relaxing political control before economic reform, allowing party corruption, and nationalizing the military. Xi is determined to avoid these mistakes while achieving China's destiny, resuming its historical position at Asia's center. War between America and China could begin with something as mundane as a collision at sea. A U.S. destroyer conducting freedom of navigation operations might collide with a Chinese vessel near disputed islands. Beijing demands the crew's surrender. Washington refuses, unwilling to undermine maritime law or signal weakness to allies. American responses, deploying carriers, positioning bombers, appear threatening to Beijing amid public outrage. Each side's proportionate responses could spiral uncontrollably. U.S. strikes on Chinese island bases seem measured to Washington, but register as attacks on sovereign territory in Beijing. China's blinding counterattacks on U.S. satellites appear to Americans as preparation for carrier strikes. Modern technologies create dangerous use-it-or-lose-it dynamics. Cyberattacks disrupting communication intensify the fog of war, multiplying miscalculation risks. Like forest fires, wars typically start from accidental sparks rather than deliberate arson. Taiwan represents another flashpoint. China violently suppressing Hong Kong protests could surge Taiwanese independence sentiment, or an American president abandoning strategic ambiguity might embolden Taiwan to seek UN membership. Japan's disputed Senkaku Islands and third-party allies like North Korea present additional dangers. War between the United States and China is possible, but not inevitable. History offers precedents: Portugal and Spain through papal mediation, Britain accommodating America's rise, Cold War adversaries inventing combat by every means except direct military confrontation. Destiny deals the hands, but humans play the cards. Once two states possess invulnerable nuclear arsenals, hot war becomes unjustifiable. U.S.-Chinese economic relations have created mutual assured economic destruction. China as America's largest creditor, America as China's largest export market. War would devastate both economies. Yet America's engage-but-hedge strategy assumes China will democratize like Germany and Japan. But China was never defeated, occupied, and reconstructed. Democracy, as one statesman observed, would cause it to collapse. The greatest threat lies in domestic failures. America's democracy shows fatal symptoms: dysfunctional government, poisonous partisanship, legalized corruption, attention deficit electorate, and sensationalist media. China faces its own government's crisis as technology makes its current system obsolete. There is no solution for the resurgence of a 5,000-year-old civilization with 1.4 billion people, only a chronic condition requiring generational management. The choice between catastrophic war and difficult coexistence remains ours, but only if we make it consciously, deliberately, and soon.